the vision that Isaiah had is in chapter 6 of Isaiah, and verse 8 is what I want to take with you. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." I don't think you have any idea of what age you've been born in. Even those who have the sharpest brains cannot work it out. The call of Isaiah took place about 739 years before the Lord Jesus. On that year, or very close to it, the Republic of Rome was formed and the city of Rome started. God put Isaiah there because the nation was at a crossroads and Rome would come and destroy Israel. You know, when they destroyed Israel after the Lord Jesus, that they killed 1 million and something like 350,000 Jews, that they erased Jerusalem, that they drew a plough over the Temple Mount, and that they forbade any Christian or any Jew to enter the town again. Do you know that they rebuilt Jerusalem and had a picture of a pig put on the gate and made the altar in the temple to Zeus? Do you know that they made the temple tax be given to Jupiter's temple in Rome? That was a time, wasn't it, when Isaiah was born? The nation was at a crossroads between two things, and the whole decision rested on their attitude to God. So God called this young man, we think he was young. Now I want to show you another thing. Isaiah stands here in perfect silence until God speaks. We believe that this was the call of Isaiah, not a second call, and God is calling the young man to speak for him, and he wants to open his mouth. And the reason is that the people had enjoyed immense prosperity up to that year under Uzziah and his faithful predecessor, King. They had enlarged the boundaries of Israel to where Solomon and David had them. They were at peace and in prosperity. I want you to know something, that there are forces against us today which the people walking through the streets and cheering for football crowds have nothing, no knowledge of. They've never even guessed them. There is a mighty empire of evil. God is fighting it. God intends to have his way. And in the heavenlies there is a tremendous battle taking place. Now that is what Isaiah was introduced to show. We will never recover the days of our prosperity. People may tell you what they like. They have gone forever. There is no way back to what Britain was when we were young. It's gone, and people are refusing to accept it. Now I'll tell you a third reason why Isaiah was called that year. The mighty Assyrian Empire, the cruelest empire ever known in the ancient world, led by Pul and Tiglath-Pileser, was rising rapidly. It smashed into Babylon, scattering the town, rebuilding its own town on top, and then into the provinces. They describe one king running away from them like a mouse running down a hole. And they won. And this mighty heathen empire was threatening Jerusalem. And it came. And it did damage, and it took away, you can see the pictures of them impaling on stakes the inhabitants of Lachish and the inhabitants of the other Jewish towns. God knew the people stood at a crossroads, and people in this country are standing at a crossroads. Now in that situation, God lifted up Isaiah and showed him a vision. You cannot get a vision out of your head. Lots of people try. You cannot decide to have a vision. God will give you a vision. And I believe some of you here in this room have actually received a vision of God. Others have not. This is what you need. This is why you are not witnessing, because you've never received the visions of God. Now, if you look at this vision, the first thing about Isaiah's life is, it's the absolute opposite to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah's book, the prophet is to the fore. In Isaiah's book, the prophet disappears behind the message. And this man here was called to see a mighty vision. Now the vision was, he was standing in a temple. We don't know if he was in his own house or he was in the temple in Jerusalem, that whatever it was, God was telling the people, I am in the midst and I am judging you from my holy temple. And God today, it says of him, his eyelids try the children of men. His very flutter of his eyelids, it says, tries what's inside people, deep down inside people. He is looking at everybody in the world and he is judging them day by day. Well now, that's where Isaiah stood in this temple. And in front of him in his vision, he saw the Lord. He saw Adonai, the God who is capable of doing what he says, the Lord. This capable and mighty God he saw. And he saw him high and lifted up. He saw him on a throne as a king and as the ruler of the universe. And he was high and lifted up, and his train, that's his robe, his light filled the temple. Now this God spoke to Isaiah, and he showed him to Isaiah himself. You will say to me, but John chapter 1 verse 18 says, no man has seen God at any time. And in Thessalonians it says, no man has seen God nor can see him. Who only hath light unapproachable, he dwells in it. Well now, how did he see God? Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You'll not see him with these eyes. You'll not see him with spectacles or without. You will see him only in your heart. But in your heart, God can reveal himself. And he can take you to his holy temple. Now in this temple, it was a scene Isaiah understood well. And any man of that age would. The people all said that God had a retinue. You will find the Egyptian gods had their retinues. The Babylonian gods, the Ugaritic gods, all of them, they had their retinue. And beside God and above him, because they were standing and he was sitting, are the seraphim. Nobody else in the Bible speaks of seraphim. Nowhere else are they mentioned. Their word means brightness. The word means fieriness. The word is connected to the Arab word sharif, meaning noble. And these mighty figures towered up into the sky of immense power. And there in the sky, God has angels. His angels watch over the little ones. There isn't a sparrow falls to the ground, but God's angels know it. God's angels rule over his children. And this world, we are like sheep among wolves, but we are kept by the power of God through his angels. Now these seraphim were mighty, but they covered their faces with two of their wings. They could not look upon God. And they covered their bodies with two of their wings. Our bodies are a great nuisance to meeting God. Our flesh is where the sin gets hold of us. And our bodies are a nuisance. They're weak. They're poor. They don't obey our behests. They have to go to sleep, they have to eat, they have to do all sorts of things which we just wish we were quit of. But we are in earthen vessels we carry this treasure. We are like every other man outside. You can't see the treasure in a Christian, but the Christian has a treasure which nobody knows. Now this Isaiah saw. He saw the seraphim, and he saw with twain they did fly. That was God's covering of Isaiah. God was covering Isaiah by saying, these mighty messengers of mine, these seraphim, are with you, Isaiah. They fly at my command, and they'll do what I tell you for you. And so God had the seraphim there. And then Isaiah said that the seraphim cried out, holy, 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 kadosh. It means separate is God, above all creation, not part of creation like the Buddhists teach or the Hindus teach. He's not anything to do with this creation. He's above it and separate to it. He looks down on what he has created. You know, the world worships sex. It always has done. And you only have to open their magazines and look at their televisions and listen to their radios and you'll see what I say is true. The ancient world worshipped it. They deified it. They made it a god. They worshipped it day and night. And this world around us is worshipping things and horrible things. We worship God who is pure and holy and apart and separate and nothing to do with the sin of this world. Neither your sin nor my sin. He is above it. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right as he sits on his throne high above us? And everything that happens, happens at his will. We aren't living outside God's will. Every terrible event that happens is only moving forward God's purposes. Ever since the beginning of time, the devil has fought against God, and men have refused to obey God and gone their own ways. But God has a different way above it. God intends that this world shall do his bidding, and do it they do. They have no right to do anything else. So every mighty empire that falls, it's God moving forward his purposes. Now, it says, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It says, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. These are the wonderful things. The whole earth is full of his glory. And what the actual words mean is fullness. The earth and his glory. It means the glory extends far beyond the earth through all created matter, through the universe, the nebulae, the endless bits of space until it goes into eternity. That is the glory of God that he saw. Now, it says in the New Testament, when Isaiah saw his glory. And I want to explain it to you. God commanded the seraphim, and he said, take a stone, a coal, with tongs from off the altar. It's actually a hot stone he's talking about, and lay it on Isaiah's lips. Now, the stone, the word used here, is the stone that was in the altar of incense, upon which they burned the incense, and it was hot. And the seraphim flew, and took it with the tongs, and somehow it was in his hand in the vision, it doesn't explain how, and he touched Isaiah's lips, and said, thine iniquity is cleansed. Now, I want to explain something. Isaiah, when he saw that glory, cried out with a terrible, piercing shriek, woe is me, for I am undone. Isaiah said, I'm finished, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I cannot abide the purity. When you see God, you will see something which is so pure that all your goodness will be as filthy rags. All you've ever done that was good will be useless in that moment. There is only one thing that can bring you through. He said, touch Isaiah's lips. For Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips, and which of us isn't? And I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And God cleansed his lips. How? He said, this has touched thy lips. Now, the stone was from off the altar, the coal. And remember this, that our Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 12, has all this vision applied to him. This is the blood of Jesus that taketh away the sin of the world. This is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is the stone. His cross is the stone. His blood can cleanse your heart and life and forgive you every sin you've ever committed. And he said, and these are the words here, he said, thine iniquity is taken away. And what it means is, your iniquity is turned aside. And what that means is, Isaiah, I freed you to speak for me. I've cleansed you to speak for me. Now you can never speak for God until you're cleansed by the blood. And you can never speak for God until your past sins are turned aside, so they don't stand between you and God and stand between you and the people. All of us have the same fear. And Alexander White was preaching in a great pulpit in London. And he started off his sermon by saying, I have a letter here from someone who is in this immense congregation. And he said, I will read it out to you. And the letter said, if you preach tonight, I shall stand up and denounce you. For I know what you did on our visit to Paris. And I know what sort of a man you are. And Alexander White said, this is perfectly true, and I stand here tonight as a sinner forgiven by God, and I preach to you, and let the person stand up. I know who you are. Stand up and denounce me if you will. And there was silence. Now, if an iniquity is turned away, God has forgiven our sin, and we're free. We're free. Our lips are pure to speak. And unless you've had the vision of God and this, you will never speak for him. You can do what you like about it. You never will. And then God gave him a message. What a message. It needed all the thought Isaiah could put into it. It said, go to this people and tell them that they're undone. Tell them that I intend to destroy them. Tell them that my word is going to them and that they will not get escape by it, but that my word is going to kill them and destroy them, turn their land into a desert and turn them to destruction. Now Isaiah, he said, go and preach that message. Would you like to preach that message? But you have to. Any wise preacher of the gospel, if he speaks to children or adults or anyone, starts with that. Woe is me, I am undone. And we're unclean and we're horrible, and in God's sight we deserve hell and damnation. We deserve these things for the way we've lived. And our best actions deserve them as much as our worst, because they're shot through with pride and sinfulness. Well now, that was a terrible message. But you see, no one dares speak the Christian message fully unless they've been commissioned by God, by seeing God in the visions. And then there's something more. God said, go and tell my own people among these, the remnant, that I intend to save some of you, but you will look like an oak tree that has lost its leaves, like a teal tree in a garden which has lost all its everything, all its greenery. And there you stand, looking dead and bare and few, and God will deal with the remnant. God is preserving them. Now that was the message of Isaiah, and it happened. Now what blinded the people? Their sin? No. What blinded the people today? It's not their sin. I'll tell you what it is. This nation has seen God as few nations have ever done. It was a mighty revival at the time this synagogue was built. A huge one which shook these islands. There were vast revivals here. Apart from the Jews, we have had more revivals than any other land on earth, even America. We have, because we've been so much longer. Well, there are many revivals have taken place, and God has dealt with us again and again in renewing the light. The greatest of those revivals was the Protestant Reformation, when millions found Christ across Europe. And when millions turned from darkness to light and understood the way of salvation that Luther preached. And these things have happened. And because of the intensity of the light, our people have turned away from the light and now hate it. And they're promulgating laws and putting in place things to silence us and to make sure we don't continue to tell them about the light. Oh, God has a judgment on this nation, and it's coming. But may we please, in God's grace, be saved from it via the remnant. Are you under the blood? Have you heard the voice say to you, go? Who shall I send? Have you said, here I am, send me? Have you seen the visions of God? Have your lips been cleansed? And has your iniquity been turned away? If so, God send you out and open your frightened lips to preach this unprepossessing message to all the earth. Amen. Amen.